Alex, welcome to another episode of the BSR Show. We are the Black Series Rebels. With me, as always, is my boy, Stephen Ellis.
What's going on, everybody? Cisco Kid, is he here? Is he here? I want to know.
And over on the porch, just chilling with his boy, it's Friday, and he ain't got shit to do today. It's your boy, Cisco Kid.
What's up, man?
That's a little preview for next week's Midnight Movie Club, if you know what I'm saying. Steve, how's it going, buddy? How you doing?
I'm good, man. I'm good. I'm feeling good. I don't know what else to say other than I'm good. How are you doing?
I feel like Neo, man.
Yeah?
Just dodging bullets. Dodging bullets, man. How you doing, Cisco?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm on little over day two of my second shot, so I'm hanging in there. I'm feeling pretty tired, but overall feeling okay. And
if you're gonna spew into this,
yeah, no, I'm not gonna spew. I've been really good, luckily. So keeping my fingers crossed that it maintains.
Nice. Well, a little housekeeping announcement. Nothing's wrong. Everything's great in the Black Series Rebels world. However, we are going to have to postpone the pin drop that was scheduled for this Saturday. I'm not going to lie. I'm pretty fucking impressed that this is the first time we've had to do this in 4 years of being a podcast. So there's a little bit of a manufacturing error. We were not able to receive the card backs in time. And we don't want to put anything up for sale where we do not have a product photo of it. It's just important for us. It's important to us that you guys see what you're purchasing, not just an artistic rendering. So we are going to wait until May 4th for those pins to drop.
Hey, that's a special day.
And if you know anything about the day May 4th, I think it would be a safe bet to assume all kinds of cool shit will be coming to the website on May 4th. So right now, you can, A. Patrell, you can put your credit card away. Cahill, you can put your credit card away. You guys can put your credit card away. We'll be back May 4th with all kinds of, oh, so minty fresh collectible pins. You know we're going to come through. We appreciate you guys understanding. It's just we didn't get the cards in time, and to be honest with you, it is kind of hilarious that the 420 theme pins had to get delayed. Like, that's also kind of hilarious, too.
Classic,
like,
right?
The one time we're not productive enough to get it done on time. So let's just leave it at that. But, man, I had a great time last week, and I'm really looking forward to this week's Hey, Steve.
Yeah, Alex.
Hey, bro. What's going on this week in Stoner News, bro?
Come in, America. America, love. Do it, baby.
Hey, Steve.
Yeah, Alex.
Hey, baby, what's going on this week in Stoner News?
Well, Alex, did you know that the technology in weed these days is insane, man? I checked out a little article this week, man, where did you know that they now can, you can send in your DNA, man, and they can then send you a report within 2 hours telling you what strains are going to work best for you based on your DNA, man.
What?
It's like 23andMe for stoners.
Bro, Ancestry.com, man. Basically.
I got to be honest with you, man. The weed industry trips me out, dude. The last time I smoked weed, it was legit. Like, you were getting like two kinds of weed. It was either trash or it was chronic. Like, that was it. There wasn't any kind of like,
it was,
sometimes you got some with like a crazy name, like Purple People Eater or some shit, but it was never like, it was never a thing. I literally, when I would buy weed, I would go to my hookup and I'd be like, he'd be like, well, what do you want? I'm like, just give me a 20 sack of chronic. And he'd be like, all right, cool. And then that would be it. And he would be like, you want me to roll it for you? I'm like, yeah, roll me up some J's and then I'll throw it in this cigarette box and we'll be good to go. And that was it.
Yeah, no, Cisco, you can have that shit delivered to your house with Postmates now.
It's fucking nuts, dude.
You can whatever you want. But
this thing with my DNA, like, oh, well, we're going to test your DNA. Yeah, yeah. We're going to tell you which one is the best.
The article in the LA Times, basically, there's been a company that's been going on for like 2 years on this.
You send your kid in and they're like,
yes. In 2 hours, you get a report.
But you don't understand.
No, but what it does is it tells you like how your body's going to react to like THC versus the CBD. And really what the people they're marketing it after actually are the boomers. Because the boomers have taken quite a break, a lot of them, from smoking these days or in 30 or 40 years. And now that it's legal and they've retired and got more money to spend – they want to try it out again, but they're so scared because like what Cisco's talking about, like, you know, we're past the days of, you know, Coca-Cola Mexican, you know, brown bud. We're past those days, with seeds and stems and all that shit, having to pick through it and whatnot. That like they're naturally frightened to smoke today's weed. And so this is them being able to basically get a report that'll let them know what strands, what things to do, so that they don't have just like an intense bad experience, you know?
I can't lie. It low key makes me want to be like, I should try it out again. It's been a long time. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not gonna, but it does make me think about it where I'm like, maybe I could try some, you know, like a little glass of wine.
Hey.
Well, I think that's the interesting thing, right? That's what they're trying to turn it into. Right. They're trying to turn it into this, like, it's something that you can do casually, safely, that's not addictive. Right. It's not addicting. Like, and that's the wild thing to me is like,
it's not physically addicting.
It's not physically addicting. Yes. Right. I guess you could make the argument that maybe like, if you do it a lot, you start to maybe depend. Listen,
there is a thing. It is true that you can smoke your ambition.
Sure. I think it would be naive to say that like there are people that like some of these like stoner burnout dudes are like able to just stop smoking weed and be fully functioning. Like it probably takes its toll. I just know for me personally, I've been able to like relegate it to at the end of the day at like 9 o'clock at night if I decide.
It's like,
yeah, I mean, it's like anything. Yes, exactly.
It's like food. It's like booze. It's like anything within moderation. Yes, if too much all the time, blah, blah, blah. Yes, it can have a negative impact on your life, I'm sure. However, it's not like doing heroin or crack or something. You know, it's really interesting. They say in this article, they go, you know, cannabis is the only industry where people go, well, tell me what I should take, like as if it's like a magic pill. And they say that, you know, well, what are you trying to address? If you're not sleeping very well, there's a formulation for that. If your challenge is not being able to focus, there's a formulation for that. Look at it like NyQuil and DayQuil. You have a nighttime formulation and a daytime formulation.
Right.
Is there a box where you can check, I just want to get a fucking blazed, eat pizza and watch Kill Bill?
Then I think at that point they just say, well, just get whatever you want.
Get whatever you want, bro. Ask the guy at the dispensary. The guy that looks like Quentin Tarantino.
He's like, I want to look like Towley after I smoke this.
420 happened. I think Cisco sent me this, but I looked into it further. Cisco sent me a tweet of a guy dressed like the mayor of Weed Town with like a weed suit and like a weed top hat, passing out joints in Union Square in New York. And I came to find out it was a thing. It's a thing called Joints for Jabs. Hands out joints for proof of vaccinations.
So now it's, you can either go get yourself a Krispy Kreme donut or you can get yourself a joint.
Mm-hmm. You can probably get the joint.
Not motivated to get your freaking vaccination by now, these things should be enticing you at least a little bit.
Trust me. I'm just going to say, get that vaccine, get the vaccine, get the vaccine, get the vaccine. And then the first thing you're going to do is go get a joint. And then once you smoke it, you're going to go get a Krispy Kreme donut. And that's going to be the best fucking donut you've ever had in your life. Right, Steve?
Absolutely. The organizer said, we had the permission of the city, the mayor's office, the governor. They went through all the right control lines and everybody said it was okay. And awesome. So he said that all the joints were rolled with love.
And you know there ain't no COVID on the spit on those things because that boy was vaccinated.
The event drew quite the crowd throughout the day, and to celebrate the holiday the proper way at 4:20 Tuesday afternoon, the group threw a big smokeout celebration. So
that does actually make me think Alex's comment about there not being any spit on the papers. I'm like, what's the future of weed smoking going to be post-COVID? You know what I mean? Like, you're not going to be sharing pipes and sharing joints with your boys anymore. There's no rotation to fuck up anymore.
I mean, I was never.
Everybody just show up with your own weed.
I'm not gonna lie. I was never really a fan of sharing the rotation. There's too many people with too many moist lips.
Oh,
getting that shit wet. I just prefer.
I don't know. Maybe that's just me, but we didn't do it any other way. Oh, everybody just smoked, rolled giant joints and giant blunts, and that's what you smoked.
The move,
or it was out of a pipe.
Or if it was out of a pipe in a circle, the move was always to take your extra lighter in your pocket when it got to you. And then I would always burn the, like, sanitize the glass
pretty smart.
Before my move. Yeah. So
probably I'm relatively newer to the pastime. I'm the baby of this group. Not really. At this point, it's not been smoking weed for probably 5-6 years at this point. But in general, I'm newer to this process. And now because of like the vape pen, I think people have already kind of gotten used to like, no, this one's mine. Yeah. You know, everyone kind of has their thing like in their pocket. And I think even now with pre-rolls and that kind of stuff, like you just open the pack and you grab yours. You know,
if you show up with your pack, you'll just be like, here's yours. This is mine. We're not sharing. just like you would a cigarette. It's like, I'm not going to pass my cigarette around.
We're not 19 anymore. It's fine. So
it's okay for everybody to have their own. You have your own glass of wine. I'll have my glass of wine. We don't have to share it.
Speaking of finding weed later in life or late to the game, Kevin Smith, even though he had stoners in his movies and wrote two of the most infamous stoner characters that there has ever been in film, was never actually really a weed smoker. And now he smokes weed all the time, constantly. It's sort of been his thing since, I feel like, after his heart attack.
I think actually it was before. I think he was already smoking weed by that point, but he, you know, for sure he was serious. But like, it was right around the time where he started to kind of lose weight. I think he was starting to smoke weed.
Okay.
That was prior to his heart attack. But regardless, he is a giant stoner.
I don't know who wants to take this because, I mean, we've talked about this subject quite a bit for the last couple of months. NFTs.
Oh, God.
Non-fungible tokens. If you haven't looked up NFTs, go look them up. Take about 4 to 5 weeks to really wrap your head around it. And even then, you probably still won't.
And then just give up.
but in all honesty, the quickest, easiest way for me to tell you about it is think of it as like collecting art or toys or I don't know anything, but in a digital world using digital currency.
Digital trading cards. And, think about it like that. It's like Star Wars card trader.
And they can be really, really expensive. And there's all kinds of people that are doing them, from Bobby Hundreds and Alex Pardee to fuck the NBA. Christie's had a huge auction where it went for like $63 million for digital art. Well, Kevin Smith is getting into the game, not going to lie. We had a meeting several weeks ago when we weren't taping. Alex and I went in afterwards for another 4 hours. Going on and on about this very thing, and we knew we'd get beaten to the punch on it, but Kevin Smith has decided that he is going to be selling his completed horror anthology Kilroy Was Here as an NFT. He says, I don't care about the money. Basically, he goes on to saying that, you know, they were talking about it, and you know, with his producing partner going, do we want to go and, you know, go to the distributors and go to the studios and do the thing and do that, and then instead went, you know what? I want to do it the way I did it back in the day and kind of think outside the box and do something that, you know, I'm old now. I want to feel young and let's sell this thing as an NFT. So, he's going to be selling the rights to this movie. Like the people who buy this NFT will be handed the hard drives of the movie. He's agreed to do press for it. And then they can distribute it however, wherever, whatever they want to do with it themselves. He's also starting up basically I think it's called Jay and Silent Bob's Crypto Studio, which is going to be a cryptocurrency NFT film production studio. Cisco, I know your mind has been blown by the weed shit. The NFT shit has been blowing my mind. And I don't know. You're the one that sent this article to me. What do you think?
Well, number one, I actually really liked that article. I thought it was really interesting. I thought his point of view on the entire space is very interesting. The interviewer poses some interesting questions and some potential problematic issues that come with doing it this way, and he addressed those. I think it's like everything else in this crypto, blockchain, NFT space. It's all so new, you know. And he actually did an interview with Bobby Hundreds this week. They did a collaboration on a clothing apparel release. And they also did an episode of the Smodcast where they talked for like 3 hours. And I haven't been able to listen to the whole thing, but the portion that I've been able to listen to so far, they've been getting into it a little bit. And it's just it's very fascinating to hear people talk about it, talk about wrapping their heads around what's going on, and at the same time, like, the constant evolution that's happening on the daily, you know what I mean? Like, not even just daily, but, you know, during the day, things can change from 1 second to the next. So, you know, NFTs are like just a wide open, like, universe of potential that nobody has been able to really like fully tap into yet, and we're just kind of seeing the surface of it. And so, you know, I think it's interesting that he's doing this. You know, I think it does track with his sort of heritage. You know, he did a similar kind of what is it, like a publicity stunt at Sundance for Red State, I think it was. Was it Sundance or Con? I forget which one it was. But he basically did he had a thing where he was like, we're going to put this up for auction, and then
bought the rights.
Bid on it, yeah. Bought the rights back.
Right.
So, you know, but that's not the case in this situation. This is a very unique one where he is actually going to be handing over the distribution rights and rights to the movie. So, I'm fascinated by it. I'm so curious to see what's going to end up happening with it. How much it ends up going for, and then what happens afterwards. So I'm so curious.
Yeah, I think we kind of talked about this. I don't know how long ago, and Kevin Smith got brought up. I think Alex and I were talking about it before this article. And it was one of those things where I went, look, it's the guy in the 90s that taught everybody how to rack up credit card debt and go around having to do a movie the traditional way, and showed everyone that they could make movies themselves. And he was the success story of it. God knows how many people wound up into incredible debt from trying to go that path. But, you know, and then I want to say, I forget what he did with Clerks 2, but I think my name's in the credits for it, having done something on the internet in regards
there to... There was crowdfunding.
Yeah, something with that. So he's always sort of had his finger in this, you know, this world in terms of, you know, some of the things that people have said, you know, about, you know, in the article, they get talking about, aren't you worried that someone could take the movie, the file themselves, if they bought it and cut up the movie? And he's like, well, it's no different. The Weinsteins made us do that with Clerks and cutting out time and this and that, you know. And he's like, listen, I'm no stranger to failure. If the NFT of this thing sells for $10, it's still a huge story, and someone's going to end up ultimately wanting to pay more for it. He's like, I don't really care. Alex is a creator, as someone in this world. I mean, I know NFTs in general make your head explode. You're tired of talking about it, but what do you think about it all?
You know, I feel a couple different ways about it. One, I'm bummed because I had this idea like 3 months ago, but I'm not in a position like Kevin Smith to start an NFT production company and do all this stuff with NFTs. And I know Bluck Series Zay can attest to it, because on the call, I was like, what about NFT the movie? And we all got really excited about it. So there's a part of me that's bummed that like, it was going to happen before I would have been able to pull it off anyway. Like, there's no question about that. You know, sometimes I can get I'll be the first to admit, I can get a little salty when I feel like people that are in positions of power kind of going into places that are a little more, because I want to be, choose my words carefully here, because I don't want to come off as the grumpy guy. Sometimes the one I always go back to is when Zach Braff kickstarted his second movie after Garden State was this like massive success. And I remember going, it's cool that you're utilizing the technology, but you don't need people's money to make your thing. You need studio money, and then people can purchase a ticket to enjoy your art if that's how they want to spend your money. Again, I think what Kevin Smith is doing is very cool and very interesting. And I think that there's a very important place for it. But I just don't know if Kevin Smith is the guy I would like to be doing it first, because I think Kevin Smith is already pretty fucking successful. But that's just me. Other than that, I think it's really cool. I'm excited to see how it plays out. I think there's very much a future for film in the NFT space. But like, you know, I love Clerks and I love Dogma. Those are the only Kevin Smith movies I'm a huge fan of. So, you know, I guess the answer is kind of like, I know this is probably like a long way of getting to kind of whatever, you know, like I'm glad somebody's doing it. I would prefer it be Kevin Smith than fucking like Wes Anderson. Like at least Kevin Smith is still pretty punk compared to that. But there's a part of me that's like, man, I wish like, you know, the guy who directed Last Black Man in San Francisco, Joe Talbot, was trying this. Or somebody that was still very much like a Tiff Johnson that was on our show. Somebody that is really in a position to like revolutionize in the way Kevin Smith was when he first made Clerks.
But do you think that by Kevin being sort of the guy that's like not a name like Nolan in the sense of like, I feel like Kevin straddles sort of this like, 1 foot over here, 1 foot over there in terms of like mainstream, but also kind of being able to do still retain that independent spirit. And so what my point is like, don't you think that by him being the guy to kind of get the ball rolling, because he is capable of having access to the infrastructure to pulling it off
100% sooner,
to allow 100%. Then allow there, people like Tiff Johnson and whatnot to be able to go in and do it.
100%. 100%. Like I have no, I'm not saying I wish he wasn't doing it.
Right.
I'm just saying I don't get as excited about the possibilities of it with someone like Kevin Smith doing it, because Kevin Smith to me isn't proving out the formula as much as an actual independent director would be proving out the formula. Because when Kevin Smith made Clerks, he was a big fuck you to the system. I'm going to rack up credit card debt. This thing's going to be a fucking film festival darling. Weinstein and Miramax are going to come in and buy it, and I'm going to fuck your system. Now it's, I'm a super established name, and I'm going to try out this new technology and see if I can raise money to make a movie with a rabidly addicted fan base. Like Kevin Smith has fans.
I do have to step in just very quickly, sure, and say he's not raising money to make the movie. The movie is already done.
That's true.
And that's he's true. Going to be selling the rights to it. So that's two it very different.
That is a big very different thing.
So, and the other thing that I do want to say is that we should keep in mind that there are very different levels of quote unquote success, right?
Sure.
Like Kevin Smith, for the success that he's had in his career, has never made a successful studio film, has never made a movie that's made a ton of money or made a big impact in the way that Clerks did, but that only made an impact in the sort the of realm
circuit or the yes. indie film bubble.
Right. And sort of like revolutionizing the idea of what could be done with a little bit of money. But ever since then, he's been sort of a pariah, because he's always kind of just been like, I'm going to fucking make the movies that I kind of want to make, whether people like them or not. Some people do like them. Some people don't. Some people like him, some people don't. And he's gotten now to a point in his career where he's very like, I'm only going to do things that I think are fun. And then if people like it, cool, I'm not going to worry about that anymore. So, and the other thing is that, and this is mentioned in the article, and I kind of forgot about this, is that he's kind of always been at the forefront of these emerging technologies.
Right.
Podcasting is a big one. He had one of the very first podcasts that that set the standard for what podcasting is now today. Everyone's got a podcast. And part of the reason why is because Kevin Smith started the popularity of what podcasts became, along with guys like Mark Maron and some of these other guys. I think Carolla was another one early on. But, you know, podcasting wasn't a thing when he started doing Smodcast and the things that he began with. And it has blown up in the time since then. So it's not that strange to think like, this guy who has done this, who has crowdfunded a movie in the past when crowdfunding was a new thing, who has done a quote unquote auction at a film festival that no one else had done before, who did a road tour with a movie that he didn't get a lot of money for and just showed it to people who wanted to watch the movie and didn't do a wide release. That was his last movie.
Yeah.
That was never released wide. The only people that got to watch it were people who went to the road show to the specific dates that he was at. And then it eventually ended up coming out on streaming. So those are things that aren't common. And that is something that is becoming a defining characteristic of what Kevin Smith is doing with his creativity at this moment. So it's not that weird to me that selling a movie as an NFT is now part of that.
Yeah. I mean, you're not getting pushback from me on that. You're right. That is a very big distinction. He's not funding the movie via NFT. He's selling it as an NFT. I'll be curious to see how much money he makes with it as an NFT. I just for kicks, I Googled Kevin Smith's net worth is $25 million. So, and I don't say that to be a dick. I'm just saying, like, I just want to have some perspective about what level of like,
well, DIY. While we're talking about perspective, when we're talking about net worth, that's nothing in this city, in this town.
Sure.
Rob Dyrdek is worth $50 million off of one TV show. So, you know, that I don't think that is a very like a strong barometer of like, he's a massive successful person that shouldn't be doing this. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think that's.
Yeah, I just know how this town is. And I know that if I were to go and do a studio and I were to say, I'm going to do an NFT thing, they're going to say, oh, like Kevin Smith.
But that's the point, right? The whole point is to not go into a studio and do that. That's what he's trying to accomplish with this. By not working within the studio system.
So he's going to fully self-fund the movie? That's what it says in the article?
So the movie's already made and done. This is basically, instead of him going and trying to sell the distribution of the movie to Paramount or whoever, he's selling the distribution rights as an NFT.
So how many hard drives is he selling? Did he say?
It'll be one. It's only going to go to one person. Whoever the buyer is, they get the movie and they can distribute it as they please. And I think that in the article, he also talks about how they're going to have to work something out where it's like, you can't just sit on it. You know what I mean? Like you're going to have to distribute, it and show it to people.
So are they allowed to resell it? Because isn't that the whole beauty of NFTs?
Well, exactly. And that's what he says. He says someone could buy it for $10, but the whole point is that because of it's also him, the press that's going on around it, it's a story. Everyone's picked up on it. It's gotten more press for being Kevin Smith's next movie than the last movie.
It would have.
And it would have gotten without this, right? It would have gone to VOD and done its thing that, you know, someone will inevitably rebuy it off the first person that gets it, I'm sure.
And maybe he ends up buying it back. Who knows?
Yeah,
there's no rules. There's no that's the whole thing about this. The rules are being made up as we speak about how all this shit works.
I think this is part him doing what he's always done in terms of new technologies and stuff. Also, it's a great press release, and It's getting people talking about the next Kevin Smith movie. So,
and NFTs at the same time, exactly. Which they already are, but it's also like exactly. amplifying it even
more. And coinciding with the selling out of the Hundreds collab with him and his collection. Like, it's all well manicured and doing what
he's a very, very, this is one thing we cannot criticize him for, is that he is a very smart salesperson and marketer. So whether or not your opinion of him as an actual creative and filmmaker is one thing, that's obviously subjective, but like, we cannot dismiss how successful he has been as a marketer of his brand over the time of his career.
I mean, that's his whole thing, right? Like, that's what Kevin Smith is, like a kind of a cult of personality,
right? Well, it's like no different than, oh, I'm going to go see the next Tom Cruise movie. It's never, I'm going to go see that Ben Affleck movie directed by that guy. It's, I'm going to go see the new Kevin Smith movie, right? That's.
I mean, that's like any of those filmmakers. There's like a handful of them, right? You can.
But I guess the thing is that it branches so far beyond just his movies, though, right? People want to go to the movie pop-ups because right. they want to go get a movie burger because right. of the tie-in to the movies, and they want to go to Jay and Bob's secret stash because they want to go buy a comic book from Kevin Smith's own thing, or they want to buy whatever the next thing is, you know. So like, it's more than just, it's almost in a very weird way, very similar to the community that a streetwear company like the Hundreds has cultivated over years, right? They get people who are interested in Bobby maybe, or in this one collaboration or the brand, and then they cultivate that over a period of time through doing different things. And so that's one thing that he is very successful at.
I mean, I feel like everyone's looking at me to have an opinion on. No, hey, I think NFTs are dumb. And I'm not the biggest fan of Kevin Smith. This is the worst possible news story for me to have an opinion.
Well, I've got the best possible news story for you to have an opinion on, Alex.
I don't think Kevin Smith is dumb. I think NFTs are dumb. Kevin Smith is very talented and makes very good movies. I just want to make that clear.
I don't think anybody was thinking you were.
I just want to. I don't want to hear any more shit about NFTs for at least the next year. So over it with the NFTs.
Buckle in, buddy, because it's not going
to. I know.
You got your Dogecoin yet?
I don't know what that is, and I don't care.
Alex, you're turning into an old man.
I'm not. I'm still the youngest guy on this podcast. I think NFTs are dumb.
Buddy, I'm four episodes into Dave.
Yeah, thoughts?
So you've been talking about this show for the last year.
A lot of people sleep on Dave.
I watched the first episode a year ago or whenever it first aired and was just kind of like,
I remember
don't know.
Exactly what
and
you
we
said
had,
about it.
And we had Tiff Johnson on, and she was talking about it, and I remember getting off and being like, I don't know, it wasn't really for me. I watched the first episode, like, I don't know. Anyhow, I went back, I rewatched the first four episodes. That funeral episode.
You mean the Macklemore?
Yes. Yes. That's the one that got me. So if you have been sleeping on it, get it. But the good news is for you,
John's
Alex,
gone. John's gone.
The good news for you, Alex, is season 2 has been announced. We'll be premiering Wednesday, June 16th at 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific Time.
I have an idea. They should do Dave season 2, but each episode is a fucking NFT.
I would get you involved.
How much you want to
get me involved? Now I'm fucking into NFT.
How much you want to bet there's going to be an NFT episode? I'm sure we're going to see a lot of those in this next. We're going to get our COVID episodes and our NFT episodes. And for our fucking sure. Stonks episodes and our Dogecoin episodes.
Oh my God. Okay. Back to Dave, please.
Back to Dave. Anyhow, the premiere will include the first two episodes with new episodes available each subsequent week. It looks like we're going to get notable guest stars from Lil Nas X to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in the second season.
That show has the best cameos. The cameos are so good on that show.
Yeah, they do a good job. I definitely recommend checking that out. In other TV news, we got a teaser trailer and another show that I couldn't believe was phenomenal, and that I watched the first episode and was like, eh, I don't know. And then I revisited it and was like, that show is probably the best thing I watched all quarantine. And that is Ted Lasso. And Ted Lasso season 2 is coming in July, on July 28th. We got a little bit of a teaser trailer. And if you haven't checked out Ted Lasso, I'm probably the millionth person that's told you to watch it. Go watch it. The world needs
more
Ted
Lasso.
I have not watched it, no.
Oh, it's fantastic. It is great. It is a totally like fun. It's very reminiscent of the feeling you get when you watch The Office.
Right. Okay.
But different. I don't know how to describe it.
It's not like The Office, but it gives you that like, I just want to stay around these people.
Right.
Sure.
Kind of quality.
I got you.
Like, it's so weird by the end of that first, I said to Alex after the end of the first season, I went, by the end of that first season, every single character you absolutely love, and they all have a full, like fully fledged, fully developed arc and history that you're just, it's like you've been with them for 5 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But the character of Ted Lasso himself is the complete opposite of Michael Scott. So please don't think that. It's weird. I'm not a big fan of positivity, and wow.
You know, it's one of those things where like sometimes what the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, I mean, it really is that like with how kind of cynical,
yes,
specifically television is.
Yes.
Like all this, even the stuff that we love and we talk about on the show constantly, like there's a level of, it's not necessarily cynicism as much as there's like a good buzzword is like, it's gritty. It's got gritty qualities to it. It's just real, it's real dark and ominous. And it's, it's just really got a lot of intense of things going on. Like that's not Ted Lasso.
No,
it's absolutely counter programming to that. And that's what makes it good. And that's why I think something like WandaVision really popped off the screen, because the first 4 or 5 episodes of WandaVision, you're like, oh, this is great. It's like watching old sitcoms.
Comfort.
And that's when television for me really starts to shine. And I'm going to go back to Dave for a little bit too. Like Dave has a little bit of that infectious positivity to it. And like, for me, television is the place where that can really live and really thrive. And I think we're coming out of this time, like the Game of Thrones, great show, last season withstanding. I don't really want to get into that or relitigate Game of Thrones.
Stop it. I hear the bees. Stop it.
I know. We're not going to talk about Game of Thrones. Breaking Bad is another example of like fantastic show.
We're coming out of 20 years of the anti-hero.
Yes. We're coming out of the anti-hero, and we're kind of coming into like the person you want to kind of hang out with. We're back in the Friends world a little bit, where you just kind of want to be around these groups of people for big chunks of time. So very much recommend Ted Lasso and Dave if you haven't caught them.
All right. We got some casting news that broke, I think, the day after we recorded or whatnot. But that Indiana Jones movie that James Mangold's now directing, and he's taken over for Spielberg. It's still happening. I don't know how old Ford will be by the time they get going, but it was announced that Phoebe Waller-Bridge has landed the female lead, and Mads Mikkelsen is set to join them in the next installment. God, it's a 40-year-old franchise. It's crazy. No plot details other than, there's nothing really there to talk about.
I like it. I like Mads.
Yeah.
Mads is great. I don't really know.
I love Mads and I love Phoebe Waller-Bridger.
Yes.
It was also announced.
Yeah. And I texted Alex afterwards. I went, you know, she has the perfect attitude and personality, in my opinion, for this franchise. She's got the perfect sort of, in a weird way, whippersmart tongue. And
yeah, she's got
would be great for a swashbuckling adventure.
Mm-hmm. Did you watch Fleabag, Cisco?
I have not. No. I think Stacey did. I'm pretty sure she really liked it. So
Fleabag's another good one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fleabag is.
She did. She did watch it. She loved it.
It's but not like Ted Lasso.
Definitely
Fleabag
not.
Fleabag is a tough. Is it 12 episodes, Steve? Right?
I think so.
12 total. Might be less. It might be less. Yeah. Very good. Very good show. It's we're in a really, you know, for all the the sheer amount of, to quote Marty Scores, the sheer amount of content that is kind of pummeled into our reality right now. There's a lot of good shit. There's a lot of really, really, and we're not even touching on like The Boys, right. You know, like all the shows Cisco was jiving on last week. We're not even touching on that. There's other streaming services with mountains of rad content. Content, baby. Content.
Speaking of content, we got some trailers this week. Did you all see the new Fast 9 trailer?
Yes.
You know this, man.
How do we,
Cisco? What are your thoughts? Hit us with it,
dude. I just, I'm never not happy watching a Fast and Furious trailer, and Han is an amazing. Spoilers, I guess. Fuck it. If you haven't seen the trailer, too bad. But Han is back, and Han is awesome. And I hope that gal comes back one day too.
Maybe he sees her at the end,
dude. Anything is possible in this damn show and these damn movies, man.
Except for
The Rock and
Vin Diesel to do a movie
Jason Statham. Well, that's the thing. This week, Justin Lin's been just like, which has been great to see him out. I feel like I haven't really seen much of him since he kind of left the franchise to do that one season of True Detective
And Star Trek, right?
Oh yeah, he did do Into Darkness, right?
Beyond.
That's right. Beyond. I liked Beyond.
Beyond is great. Beyond is probably the best of the three Star Trek movies, to be honest. That movie's great.
No, I enjoyed it. But he's gone on, and of course, everyone's asking him about, you know, Brian and paying tribute to Paul Walker and that kind of stuff. But he's really talking about how this is sort of trying to be like the end game of this franchise and wrapping it up. It's two parts. Everyone's talking about how, you know, he would love to have The Rock and Jason Statham back and doesn't rule that out. And Jason Statham's out doing promotions right now for a new movie he's got coming out. And
that looks awesome too.
Yeah. And he wants back in. So, you know, it could happen. I mean, I don't know, you know, Rock's busy working out and trying to run for president and filming Black Adam and he's got the, which by the way, the Rock show on NBC is a good one to feel good and fall asleep to. I'm not going to lie.
It looks good. I want to give it a shot.
It is. It's a good, just sort of
called Young Rock. What's it called?
Yeah, it's called Young Rock. It's on Peacock.
I do want to say one thing. My favorite tweet that came out the day of the trailer was that, with Fast 9 coming out, all that means is that we're just that much closer to a movie coming out that's titled Fast 10, Your Seatbelts. I said, yes, I had never thought about that, but holy shit, that's amazing. Oh, if they don't do that, they're beyond dumb.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
I started watching The Fast and the Furious again this week, but the vibe wasn't right. In keeping with stoner news, the vibe just wasn't right. Like, I started it, I was like, that's the vibe tonight, and I was like, this is not the vibe, and I ended up doing Guardians of the Galaxy 2. But man, dude, that first movie is so great and so silly in all the fantastic ways that, like, they've really, for as weird and kind of batshit as that franchise got, it's still kind of stuck to its roots in a weird way. Like, it's like, I remember I started, I was like, oh yeah, I forgot. They break into semis and steal DVD players.
I remember when they did that thing where they drive the Civic under the semi.
Oh yeah.
I remember losing my shit and being like, I can't believe they fucking did that in real life.
With the green LEDs on the bottom of the black Civics.
Yeah.
Ooh. Dude, the best is when Paul Walker's like, I need Nos.
Yeah.
And then they like, he shows up at that first race and he like has that little computer. That
he's like, yelling at it. It's like, shut up.
The Nos system is like on his laptop. And at the time you were like, man, that car is so sick.
His car is fucking falling apart. Sparks flying everywhere.
What's the kid who drives the white Jetta that's not in any of them after the first one? The white
Jesse,
boy.
He's dead.
Jesse.
He dies in the first one.
That's right. You can get him to do a cameo.
I'm sure on, you can.
If you want to get a hello from him. It's only like $49.99.
It's funny, Alex, I've done the same thing where I'm like, oh yeah, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to watch the Fast movies. And then I watch the first one and I'm like, I'm good. I don't need to watch any of the other ones. I just want to watch this one.
Well, like I loved like the first one just because I remember being in LA and that like being that filming. And I remember seeing that in a matinee and coming out of the theater and like getting in my car that was a stick shift and like racing out of the parking lot thinking I was Paul Walker or something. And then the second one I was like, oof, this is music video hell trash. And then Tokyo Drift I loved. And then I liked 4. And then I'm not as in love with the most recent ones as I think you guys are. But I'm weird.
I wouldn't say I'm in love with them, but I enjoy all of them. 5, I think, is the best one.
Of the new era, of the action era.
Right.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. It's the most kind of like jaw-dropping. Like, it's just like the craziest shit happens in that one that like really kind of, I think because it shocked me so much when they did it, you know, I was more like, whoa, this is real crazy. But I really enjoy all of them to the same point where it's just like, they're the perfect example of like the just fun popcorn movie.
4 is the one where Brian's still with the FBI, right? And he's doing like parkour in the suit.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one where they come back from, like, it's like they're starting to establish that kind of
the world again.
Fast and Furious. So my favorite of like classic Fast and Furious is Tokyo Drift.
Right.
That's like, I love Tokyo Drift. The worst by far is Too Fast.
Which both of those guys both of those guys, not just Han, are back in this one.
The main guy, the kid? Yeah,
the main guy, and then the other dude that was in Better Luck Tomorrow.
Bow Wow.
Bow Wow.
Oh, yeah. Bow Wow, and then the other guy who's from Better Luck Tomorrow.
Yeah,
so that's my favorite OG. Then I actually like, is it Furious 7? What's the one with the Paul Walker song at the end? It's been a long day without
that's
you,
seven.
My friend. That's 7.
7 is my favorite of like the action-y action ones, but I don't know, man, when he drives that car off the fucking cliff and like catches the fucking bungee cord and swings and 9, this might take the cake.
I don't know that I saw the last, I don't know if I saw the F. Gary Gray one.
It's great.
The last one is the one with the submarine, right?
Yeah, I don't think I watched that one, or if I did, I fell asleep.
It's all, I mean, they're so insane now at this point, but I kind of love that they've just embraced it. They just embrace the fact that it's crazy.
They're going to space. We knew it was going to happen. They're going to space.
We are. All right, guys. One last trailer we got this week. We got the new Marvel movie trailer. Is it Shang-Chi?
Shang-Chi.
Shang-Chi.
Yep. Shang-Chi.
I got to tell you guys, it is the gold standard.
Say it.
It is the gold standard.
You're goddamn right. It only took us a year to get to
took me 10 years. I'm actually excited and I'm really enjoying this era of Marvel. I'm really enjoying what they've done with the TV series. I actually really like the Winter Soldier show.
Great.
And this trailer for Shang-Chi just looks incredible. I'm totally on board with it. I'm loving nod to Speed with Awkwafina driving the bus.
Uh-huh. Yep.
I don't know. I'm excited for this movie. They also just announced that Olivia Colman what's her name? Daenerys Targaryen, Emilia Clarke is going to be in the Secret Wars show. I don't know, man. I'm stoked what they're doing with Marvel right now.
Yep.
What'd you guys think of the trailer?
Fucking amazing.
Looks awesome, dude. There was a shot where he was like running up these like platforms. I was like, ah, oh, this movie's fucking done. This movie's going to be great.
I don't know how or why I became such a Awkwafina fan, but I totally am, man. I am like so happy for her. She's got the two back-to-back Disney joints popping off. She's got Awkwafina. Nora from Queens is funny. I think that's a funny show. I just like her whole vibe, and I'm wishing her nothing but success. So seeing her get to do stuff like this, I think, is really cool.
Yeah, it's funny because like this would be right around Crazy Rich Asians into The Farewell when she won her Golden Globe. We're now starting to see the fruits of those, like,
yeah,
you know, every Hollywood agent and fucking producer in town's like, get me Awkwafina on the phone. Like, yeah. I think we're going to have a run of Awkwafina here that's going to be pretty fucking stellar. And yeah, I'm spacing on the actor's name because I know he's relatively he's not a newcomer, but this is his first huge.
Is it Simu Liu for Shang-Chi?
Yes.
Yeah, Simu Liu.
Yes. I think that's his name.
Okay, so he just seems like a fucking great guy.
Yeah,
dude, he looks. All of his tweets on the day that it dropped are just like. Like he's how so you happy. Or I would be. Yeah, he's just so stoked to be a part of it and like yeah. super excited. Like you just. You
that's like be that's so like everything to me.
Yeah,
like the fact that he's so excited and stoked to be in this, it just makes me go, A, it's probably really good, and B, yes, good things happening to good people is what makes when Hollywood's working correctly, that's how it works.
Right,
good things happen to good people, and unfortunately, that's not often what happens in Hollywood. So it's nice to know that. For him, who seems like a really nice dude, something great's happening. I'm really excited for the movie. And boy, it's crazy to think that we're so close to seeing some movies in person, man. We're almost there. We're so close, man. We're so close.
That's all I got this week, guys.
That's it. That's it for Stoner News.
That's all I got.
Well, I don't know if you guys can hear this, but there is construction outside.
No,
I can hear it in a big way. Can you guys hear it?
No.
Maybe I can hear like a jackhammer maybe or
yeah dude it's they're going oh, good. Bananas outside my room. Right, anyway, my
water cooler humming in the background.
Cisco, where can people find you at home?
Hey, they can find me at Cisco Kid with 2D 77 on Instagram and Twitter.
Yo, Steve, where can the people find you at home?
You can find me on Twitter at Rex Manning. You can check out my latest ramblings on Letterboxd, and yeah, that's about it.
You can find me also on Letterboxd, or if you want to check out some of my creative stuff that's not as cool as any of the stuff we talked about on this show, go to www.alexdoesstuff.com, and we will see you next week on BSR. Laters!
What's up, guys? I'm here at Pixar. I'm about to go in, start working on a collaboration project with Pixar. Just kidding, man. I don't play that soft little baby shit, man. That's Satan all day, that evil Satan stuff, heavy metal shit, man. I don't fuck around with a little baby shit like that.